You are listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.
Now, we're going to cover today from January to April 1920. There are 68 deaths in that period.
In that period, isn't that? That is a shocking amount in literally the 4 month period.
Yeah, it is only when you start delving into them. You know, and I'm going to go through a number of them and suggest ones of interest, particularly of Limerick interest, right? Now, the first one that I deal with is occurred on the 21st of January 1920. Now, you remember the film. I think to the Mikey Collins, on Mikey Collins, right?
Yes.
And there was a Charles Ford Redmond. He was an assistant commissioner for the Dublin Metropolitan Police. He used to speak to Ned Bright, a boy. You know?
Yes.
Anyhow, this man was actually transferred from Belfast to Dublin to, dare I say it, kick the Dublin Metropolitan Police into shape.
Okay.
The feeling that they were kind of out of, you know, they were out of kilter.
They weren't
walking very well. So this man was sent down to straighten them up. And he was married, man was, I don't know if he had a family, but he certainly was married, right? And he had was to move into quarters in Dublin Castle.
Okay.
Unfortunately for him, he went to Dublin about the 1st of January 1920, and the quarters weren't ready. And the IRA tumbled to the fact that every day at a certain time he was staying in a hotel in, it was in Harker Street.
Right, and of course we know one of the most damaging things that you could do in times like this is to have regular habits.
Regular habits. And he had a very regular habit that he would be escorted so far on the road by the a police escort.
Yes.
He walked the rest of the way. And the IRA tumbled to this, and two or three day, dare I say, the hardest of them, the most experienced of Michael Collins' squad, Paddy Daly and Tom Toe, they intercepted him.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Assistant Commissioner Redmond didn't get to his hotel. He was shot dead.
Okay.
Now, that, as I said, was on the 21st of January 1920. The following day, a policeman of interest, now when I say of interest, like anyone's death is tragic.
Yes.
I don't care what, you know, like, no matter what your politics are, they leave a family behind. There's people who mourn their loss, right? But the following day, an RIC member by the name of Finnegan was shot in Turles.
Yes.
Luke Finnegan. Now, I think, in fairness to him, he had a peripheral involvement in the matters around the rescue of Sean Hogan in May 1919.
Sure.
But I don't, you know, anyhow, either way, he was shot dead in Turles. Now, he didn't actually die. He was transferred to hospital in Dublin. He died in hospital in Dublin, but as I say, he was markedly wounded in an attack in Turles in 22nd of January 1920. The next one we deal with was a shooting that happened in Limerick. Now, you know, there's a lot said about the, as I said, our friend Jim in Cork was saying.
Oh, Jim Hurley.
Jim Hurley is trying to raise memorials,
yes,
to RIC men, right?
Yes.
And the only people that did anything out of the way were Black and Tans.
Mm.
Unfortunately, that's not in accord with facts.
Yes.
In February, on 2nd of February 1920, the RIC cut loose in Limerick, Limerick City. Now, this was long before any
Blackentans came to the country at all.
Well, they cut loose, and two civilians, a Richard O'Dwyer and Alina Johnson, were killed. Now, O'Dwyer had a public, was a publican in Rochester. Now, I don't doubt that the IRA might have opened fire on the RIC.
Yes.
But there is no doubt that they fired indiscriminately and not in the direction of where they were being attacked from.
Yeah, they just shot civilians who had nothing to do with it.
O'Dwyer was had a public house in Rochester.
Yes.
And he was behind the counter and pub, and he was shot dead. Lena O'Dwyer was on her way home from, she was an usherette in the hotel, I think, or the cinema in O'Connor Street. I think it's the Coliseum.
Right? Okay.
And she was on her way home from work. And she was going out, she was living in Tormagate, and she was going out over Sarsfield Bridge. And she, when she was shot by, they are called a stray bullet.
Isn't that awfully sad? I mean, as we say, all deaths are tragic in their own context. But it's awfully sad that these people are just going about their working day and they had nothing to do with anything.
They had nothing to do with anything. Like, I mean, let's be straight. It's what you're seeing today in the Ukraine.
In the Ukraine, yeah. Just indiscriminate firing, yeah.
Yeah, and people like Mr. Putin, they don't care because they're not in the firing line.
Yeah, yeah.
As I said, that was early February 1920. The following week, there was an RIC man died in Dublin after following an attack in Belfast. The attack was actually in Dublin. He was an Edward J. Mulholland, right? He was from County Limerick. Now, I think his father, you see, RIC men move around the country, right?
Yes.
And you sometimes find very unusual surnames because the father, you know, was from, we'll say, Belfast.
All right.
And he's serving in Ballylanders, and his son is born there. Now, I think this was the case with Mulholland, that, as I said, definitely it wouldn't be a Limerick name.
Yes.
On the records, he's a Limerick man, but he was killed, as I say, he died in hospital, Dr. Stevens Hospital in Dublin, from wounds received. Now, the next man of interest is a fellow called Quinlisk. Now, Quinlisk was, dare I say it, a British agent.
Okay.
And he was very successful. He managed to make contact with Mikey Collins, right? And he... The irony was that our friend Redmond had boasted about Quindus. Quindus had made contact with Mikey Collins, despite all the agent or the G-men in Dublin.
Yes.
They weren't able to make any contact, and Quindus did.
He managed,
but
yeah.
He, fortunately for Michael Collins, the IRA tumbled to the fact that Quindus was... a British agent, and he was lured, there I say it, to a place up near the up near Dublin Zoo.
All right.
Right. And he was shot again. He was shot by members of Collins's squad. Now, as I say, it's a violent. You know, early 1920. You have really seen a kind of a complete upping of the violence.
Yes.
In the war. Like here in Limerick, in January 1920, there was a full-scale attack on the RIC barracks in Maroo. A very humorous, dare I say, such you can say, was something very humorous happened, right?
Yes.
The Mid-Limerick Brigade organised the attack, and they brought in an expert... an explosive expert. Now, he was expert at making a mine, all right, but he wasn't expert at directing the explosion.
Oh no! If you want an explosives expert, you want them to be able to direct the explosion more than anything, don't you?
this is very funny because one of the men who there told me about it, Joe Graham from Anacotti, took part in the attack, and he said the expert, the three or four boys ran the mine up against the gable of Maroon Barracks, right? And the expert came in and he set the fuse, whatever the hell, and they all went back into cover, wait for the explosion. There was a massive explosion.
Yes.
And when the dust cleared, right, all they had was a big scorch now up the gable of the barracks, right?
Yes.
They had stamped the mine in place with a land roller, you know, these stone land rollers.
Yes. Right?
And the stone and roller was in bits about 2 feet away. No,
if you want to be an explosives expert, you need to be able to direct it. You need to be able to direct it. Oh, God.
As I said, it was very funny because what they had done was they had blocked roads for miles around.
Yes.
They had cordoned off there was no way that the RIC were going to be able to come to the help of the garrison.
The garrison, yeah.
Fortunately for the garrison,
they just blew up their own land roller.
Explosives blew up the land roller. That's what happened in February 1920. Moving on, the same time, I said, there was another British agent,
yes.
I suppose he's calling him a spy, and he's not really a spy, he's an intelligence agent. I thought about the name Byrne. Now, it was said that Byrne's father was an RIC inspector in Newcastle West.
Right.
I could never track that one. It has been written quite a number of times that he was an RIC inspector in Newcastle West.
Yes.
Now, I'm not sure whether my friend John in Newcastle West might be able to verify that.
Okay.
But as I say, that's what the accounts
tell us.
That's
what several accounts say that he was, yeah.
Yeah, he was originally from Newcastle West. Moving on, there was quite a number of other ones. I'll be interested. In March 1920, there was actually an IRA attack in Kilkenny at Huggenstown Barracks. Now, as I said, there weren't too many attacks in Kilkenny, but there was one in March 1920, right?
Yes.
And sadly and unfortunately, and there was one RIC man killed. He was a constable, a spy, he was from County Limerick, right? And he was, I think it might have been from the city actually, and he was killed in the attack. He was the only fatality. Now, again, as I said, regardless of what your politics are, when some mother's son gets killed, that's a tragedy.
Oh yeah. You know, all death is tragic in its within its own context. Of course, it is.
Yes, I say that. Now, around the same time, in March 1920, in Rathkeel, Sergeant George Nazer was killed. Now Nazer and another Constable Doyle had come to the fair in Rathkeel, escorting a farm manager from Kerry. And
right.
This farm manager was boycotting Derry. He was the manager of a boycotting farm. And he went to the fair in Rathkeel to purchase cattle. And the two policemen were sent as an escort, an armed escort. Now, someone spotted Nazer and recognised him.
Uh-huh.
He was in civilian clothes, and they took off the IRA, and when Nazer and Constable Doyle and the land agent went for dinner that evening in Newcastle or in Ward's Hotel. A number of Irishmen went in and they shot and killed Nasal and they wounded Doyle.
Right.
As I said, you know, again, regardless of what your politics are, I think people being killed, you know, they're someone's son. Now, Nasal was actually originally from near Palace Kenry. He was a,
right.
His people were Palatines.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
They came from near Palace Kenry, I think. The family are still, the extended family would still,
be here in the area.
On the 17th of March, Paddy's Day, Constable Charles Healy died in the military hospital attached to the new barracks. Now, what I have found is that fellows were wounded in actions in, say, Player of Tipperary. Very often they died in the military hospital in Sarsen Barracks.
Okay.
It was the military hospital at the time, and this man was shot in Tumibara. He was shot in Tumibara. He was attacked by the North Tipperary IRA on an RIC patrol. And one of the, I think, Constable Rock was killed, and Constable Healy was seriously wounded, and he was rushed to the military hospital to test the bikes, but unfortunately he died he died later that evening. Now, if someone that I wasn't aware of, I Michael Fahey from West Clare, he was an IRA man who was mortally wounded in an action down in West Clare, and he was actually rushed to Barrington's hospital.
Oh,
can you imagine? You said you would have thought that it would have made more sense to go to hospital in Ennis.
In Ennis, yeah. That's quite a distance.
It is quite a distance. As I say, he was he was taken to Barrington's. Now, as I say, I can't figure out where the actual action took place.
Yes.
It was attached to the West Clare Brigade, so that would suggest it was in somewhere in West Clare. But he was, he died anyhow in Barrington's hospital. Now, it's quite possible that he needed some type of surgery.
Sure.
It would only be available.
Some expertise that they wouldn't have had, yes.
Yes, you know, that's, to me, that's what it sounds, you know, sounds like.
Because otherwise it would be implausible. Like, I mean, bearing in mind that their methods of transport would be much slower than ours, it seems a long way to bring a mortally wounded man.
Yeah, as I said, but it, again, it depends on the nature of the wounds.
Of the wounds, yes.
Now, on the 20th of March, 1920, Thomas McCurtain, the mayor of Cork, was assassinated by an RIC death squad.
Yes.
Now, this is one of these things where Jim Hurley is throwing kind of things out and say, like, if the Black and Tans did it. The Black and Tans were in the country at the time.
Yes.
No, only the first Black and Tans were basically coming off the train.
So is he suggesting they literally came off the train and went to Thomas McCurtain's house straight from the train and shot him?
Yeah. Now, because some spoke in an English accent.
Yes.
Now, for God's sake, if you wanted to disguise the thing, or told, if you were an RIC man,
yes,
the best thing to do was to speak in an English accent, and it might be believed that you were military, or
yes,
these new back and tails. But as I say, to me, it's totally spurious to say that it was back and tails that did it. Now, as I say, McCurtain was very active, by the way. He was early commander in Cork City.
Yes.
You know, and he had been very active. But as I say, he was shot in his home.
And his was a terrible loss at the time.
Yes. And the man that shot him, or that was responsible, I think his name, you know, he was, had been in Bakkeel for a while previously.
Oh, are you thinking of Swansea?
Swansea, yeah. Swansea was Swansea was based in Rathkeel in about 1911 or 12, around that time. And he had himself and the head constable, who was there at the time, didn't, as a man said, didn't pull very well.
Okay.
And the head constable was out on patrol one day and he got thrown off his bike. And he got fairly, I won't say serious, but he got, if you got thrown off your bike, he's not running out.
Yeah, you'd know about it.
You'd know about it. And he was very shook up.
Yes.
So he was taken into a pub and given a whiskey to straighten him up.
Yes.
That's when he came back to the barracks, Swansea smelled the liquor, right? And in Swansea's Blinkers book, the head constable had been...
drinking on the job.
Drinking on the job. So he put him on a charge. Now, eventually, he was court-martialed, but he would appear that whilst Swansea, should have had the backing of his fellow inspectors...
Yes.
Whilst the officer, or the head constable, I can't think of his name now, he was transferred to the military with the same rank, right, as a musketry instructor, which, dare I say, would have been a much handier number.
Yes.
Now, the same man, now, in fairness to him, he was in Dublin in 1916 because he was visiting the family. Now, he had been transferred up to Fort Dundree, up in Donegal.
Yes.
Right? But his family had been relocated to Dublin, Dublin Castle. So every few weeks he'd be off, he'd be in Dublin, called to Dublin to visit the family.
Sure.
He was there in Easter week, unfortunately for him, 1916. And he went to the aid of the garrison in Dublin Castle, which were under the... Yeah, outside Dublin Castle, they were under attack in the IRA.
Yes.
And he went to the raid, right? But because he was in civilian clothes, right, he was shot by one of his own.
Oh, gosh. And you see, this is, I mean, I know that we say that all of the deaths are sad, but, you know, there are some unmistakably tragic incidents that happened as well, aren't there?
Yeah. He was actually a head constable Brosnan. Mm. Now, as I say, he was transferred to the military as a regimental sergeant major, which is effectively the same rank.
Yes.
Now, the fact that he was transferred at the same rank tells me that the people judging the case, the court martial, he had their sympathy rather than the
officer.
Swansea was not a nice person, I don't think.
Well, you could say, from this case at least, more inclined to punish first and ask questions after, or not bother asking questions at all.
Yeah, as I said, the irony is two boys had pulled together at Newcastle in Rathkeel. Now, Swansea got transferred straight away, by the way.
Yes.
So that tells you that his superior officer are not happy with his performance.
Yes.
So he got transferred down to Wexford. And Brosnan got transferred to the military and ended up in Fort Dunlow in Donegal.
Yes.
But as I say, if they had put together, God only knows the way things would have gone, that Swansea wouldn't have ended up in Cork.
In Cork, and,
And maybe Brosnan wouldn't have ended up in
You see, it's like when you think about it, I suppose, with the benefit of hindsight, it's like a game of chess. You know, when you take out certain pieces, then, you know, vulnerabilities become apparent.
Now, the last one I'm going to finish with, right, relates to the Newcastle West area.
Yes.
There was a Dennis Crowley. Now, he was, he was a maverick. He was going around, said, pretending to be an IRA officer, training officer, right?
Yes.
He was actually, had been in the British military in the First World War. He was an admiral.
Right.
But he was acting as a kind of a bounty hunter.
Okay.
Going after there was a bounty, you see, on Sean Tracy and Ben Breen and those fellas, right?
Of course.
And he was chasing them through. And he obviously was successful of mine because he traced them to West Limerick.
Yes.
But Michael Sheehy from back Fiona's side, he smelled a rat. and he had Crowley arrested. And when they started digging into Crowley's background, things did not add up. So Crowley was eventually court-martialed and executed in West Limerick in March 1920.
All right.
Now, just before you finish, I'd like you to maybe play a bit of music on your music problem from my old friend Tony Brown, who I believe is listening on the quiet to our programme. And he's not enamoured with our rantings.
Oh, well, you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please some of the people any of the time.
Well, you can't please Tony at all. Sean.
You have been listening to A Window on the Past on West Limerick 102 FM.